that I knew that some years ago, he went through a real hard experience in his church. He really had planted the church, he and his wife, and had worked together for many years, had people saved through their outreach, and they kind of brought these people up, and they were like their children. And then something came up in the church, and a bunch of these people just left. They left the church, they left the preacher, and the preacher was really down, and I could see it. And he was talking to me, and he said, you know, I just think I'm going to leave my church. He said, I'm going to go to another state where my kids live, because his kids had been married and living in a nice state, and I'm just going to go there to live by my kids. I said, please don't do that. I said, don't do that. I said, stay with your church. Stay with your church. And he took that advice, and God blessed him. God saved other people, and the church was established, and God blessed it. And I believe that he did the right thing. And this morning, I'm looking at the life of Jacob, and I'd like to go to Genesis 35 with you this morning in light of that. Genesis 35, and it says there, when Jacob was blessed by his father Isaac. Well, he doesn't say that there. It says it earlier. When he was blessed by his father Isaac, his father told him not to marry a Canaanite woman, an ungodly woman, just like his brother Esau had done. He said, don't do that. He said, I'll bless you and you go find a wife in Padan Aram and find a wife of the daughters of Laban, who was his mother's brother. And Jacob followed his father's good counsel there, and he set off on a journey to go to Padan Aram, to the place where we're going to preach about today. It was a place called Luz, L-U-Z, and there he had a dream, and in that dream he saw a ladder reaching from earth to heaven and angels of God going up and down that ladder, and that was a Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus Christ that he saw in that dream. And he realized this was a very special place, and God spoke to him and made promises to him that he'd made to Isaac and that he'd made to Abraham. And he realized he was in a special place. In fact, he realized it was a place that he called the house of God. And the word Bethel, El means God, and Beth is house of God. And he named it the house of God. And he put up a stone to remember it, and he promised to return there. And he said from this time on, he would give a tithe or 10% of all of his increase. By the way, tithing was done by Isaac. Tithing was done by Abraham. Tithing was done all the way back to Adam. He was just following the example of godly people. Don't tell me tithing is just in the law. Right. It was before the law, after the law, during. It is a basic standard of giving, and God demands the tithe. He always has. He always will. And so Jacob got his wives and his family from Laban's house. And he didn't go to the wicked Canaanite people for a wife. Boy, who you marry is so important. I said, who you marry next to salvation. And so it's better to be lonely and single than to be married to the wrong person. I'll just say that right now. It's way better to be lonely and single than to be married to the wrong person. But he named it the house of God, and he said, and there's the time where you see the tithe tied together with the house of God. Amen. Where do you tithe? In the house of God. And so he got the wives, but he wound up spending 20 years in Padan Aram, working for his father-in-law. And after 20 years of working for his father-in-law, which was a tough employer, God blessed him and gave him so much and told him it's time to go back to the promised land. And so he went back to the promised land. But you see here in Genesis that when he went back to the promised land, he didn't go back to Bethel, the house of God, like he promised. He went to Shechem, or Shechem we say, but it's Shechem. And he went back there, and he, while he was there, he lived there for 10 years. 10 years. You know, it's possible, and God's people do this, unfortunately, instead of getting back to the house of God like they promise, they stay away too long. And by the way, sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll bring you lower than you want to go. It'll make you pay more than you want to pay. You say, well, why didn't he go right back there to Bethel, the house of God? You know, the house of God can make you feel uncomfortable. It can be a little bit scary. And perhaps he was convicted of his family having idols. We know his wife Rachel had idols. We know his children from Genesis 35, as we just read, they had idols, and God is a jealous God. And Jacob knew better, and perhaps he felt uncomfortable with the way his family dressed and the way he had idols and so forth. By the way, if you have false gods, and the farther you get away from the true God, the less clothes you'll wear and the more you'll expose nakedness, by the way, just an aside. And perhaps his family was not living right and dressing right, and he felt he must get them in order before going back to the house of God. Can I say something to you? You don't get things in order and then come to the house of God. You come to the house of God and God will get things in order. You go to him as you are and let God deal with you. And so that's wrong thinking. The house of God then and now is your support group and the center of your service and worship for God. I had a guy tell me recently that he's coming back. And he's had some problems and so forth and so on. And I said, you come on back, I'll keep the lights burning, and I'll keep the fire burning. It's right here for you. You come on right back here. You're welcome back here. And that's what happened to Jacob. And God said to Jacob, and I'm going to preach on verse 1 today of Genesis 35. He said, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee. And the name of my sermon is Back to Bethel, You Must Go. And two things I want to say. Number one, because you need the house of God. You need the house of God. And notice that God first says to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Notice the two words, go up, go up. You see, in the Bible, whenever somebody went to the temple, even if they were living north of the temple and north of the house of God, and they had to go south, they didn't go down south to the temple. It was always go up to the house of God. And whenever you go to the house of God, you are going up. And your life is going up. After I was saved in Muskegon, Michigan, I went and joined, got baptized in and joined an independent fundamental Baptist church called Calvary Baptist Church in Muskegon, Michigan. And when I went to that church, got baptized, joined that church, my life began to go up from there. It went up. It went up with God. It went up in the right direction. I'm submitting to you that the house of God is what you need for your life to go up. And then I went from there to Bible college here. And I was in Bible college here. And we planted the Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And I went up to the house of God, even though I was in Bible college. And on the Holy Hill, we used to call it, in Clark Summit. And we came into the valley city called Scranton. Nevertheless, my life was going up because I was going up to the house of God all the time. Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And then I went for a summer between my first year at Baptist Bible and my second year there. I spent the summer in West Palm Beach, Florida, working outside. And I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church called Emmanuel Baptist Church. And there, a girl by the name of Kathy Leeser came. And she welcomed me to the church and was nice to me. And I didn't let her know I was a Bible college student, that I was a preacher boy. I just acted like I'm some guy from off the street. And she was so nice and kind. And then she found out later, was not too happy with me for playing a game with her. But I went up to the house of God and find my wife in the house of God. Thank God I didn't find her in a nightclub. Thank God I didn't find her in a bar. Thank God I went up to the house of God. And that's where I met my wife. And then when I came back here to Scranton, I never moved from the house of God. She was portable. God brought her from West Palm Beach all the way up to Scranton, Pennsylvania, to the house of God. And I'm just saying, God said to Jacob, go up to the house of God. When you go up to a house of God, which today is a local New Testament church, make no mistake about it, your life is going up. Secondly, under the fact that you need the house of God, secondly, God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. That's the second one I want to say. Arise. I put that in bold print. Arise and go up to Bethel. And I'm thinking yesterday in bus ministry, Matt and I were out and a young lady that I had led to the Lord and went to their house. And this young lady, about 18, 19 years old, and went to the house, and there were the brothers there, guys there, and a couple of them I had talked to before about the Lord. But I heard them say, a preacher's here. In other words, get out. Scatter. The preacher's here, you know. We don't want to see him, you know. And I'm just smiling and I'm saying, you don't want to see me? You know, I'm here. You don't want to see me? And we got to go to a store. And they're like going out, you know. And the girl could have stayed there, but she went right downstairs. Whoop, came right out in that cold weather and stood out in the porch to talk to me. And we talked for quite a while. And she was freezing out there, but she came out. That showed me something. She wanted to see the man of God. And she told me, she said, you know, that guy that I was going with the last time you talked to me, I'm not going with him anymore. He's too young. He's not serious. And he's messing around. And I said, well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I said, you need to go to the house of God again. And she said, well, my problem has been, she said, I put the cell phone, which is my alarm clock, right by me, but I don't wake up that early in the morning. He gets there like before 8 a.m. or around 8 a.m., and I'm just not up that early. It's so hard for me. And I said, you need to, every morning I get resurrected. I don't wake up. I get resurrected from the dead. And I said, I said, can you give me your number? And I pulled my cell phone out, and I gave it to her because she's 18, and she just got that phone number on there that quick, you know, had it all on there. So I have her number on there. I gave it to the bus captain, Matthew, and I said, Matthew, you call her. And he called her twice, and she still wasn't up. But you know what? Pray for her. Her name is Emily. You got to get up, amen? You got to put your clothes on. And you got to go to the house of God, and unless you're a sick and shut-in, and I hope this is going out there, you got to get up. And it's not pajama Baptist church. Inside, get your clothes on, get out, and go up to the house of God and be part of what is going on. And so you got to arise and not miss out. And so I just want to say, when you go up and you go up to the house of God, here in the house of God, when Bethel was... when Jacob went to Bethel, it was still there. The name was still Bethel. It was still in the same place. I am so glad when people leave and they get away from the house of God, they can come back and it's still Scranton Revival Baptist Church. The angel of the church is still preaching the word of God. We still have the same Bible, the same Great Commission. We're doing the same thing. The lights are on. The fire's burning. Come on, jump in. The water's fine. You can come back to the house of God. And you need to be back at the house of God for your own life. And so, you know what? When he went back, there was also the same stone that was there. Remember, he set up a stone and he anointed that stone. You know what an anointed stone is? It's the same word. Anointus is Christ. Christ means the anointed one. You know who the anointed stone of Scranton Revival Baptist Church is? Yep, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad our rock is not their rock. The Thyatiran Roman whore church, their rock is Peter, the Apostle Peter. Our rock is Jesus Christ. And you can't lay any other foundation for salvation, for going to heaven and avoiding hell. You have to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Have you done that yet? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Well, listen, Christ is the cornerstone of any true church, of any true house of God. He's the cornerstone. And we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But you need to be here. Why? Because that same Christ is walking amongst this candlestick. Do you know, in spirit, He's walking. He's watching this church service today. He's watching everyone that's here. And your ears need to be here to hear that word of God, that word of Christ that's preached. So firstly, I'm saying that you need to, number one, go up to Bethel. Number two, you need to arise. And number three, you need to arise and go up to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. It's still here. It hasn't changed. Thank God for that. And then fourthly, I'm saying that after Jesus Christ saves you from sin and hell, that you need to be baptized and to become part of the house of God. You know, the Bible says in Peter that you are literally a stone in the house of God. You're not the cornerstone, but you are a living stone. In other words, you're a rockhead. Amen. But you're here and you should be dwelling. He said, dwell there. Go up to Bethel. He said, and what? Dwell there. That means stick there. Stay there. Whenever the doors are open to have church, you be there. You dwell there in the house of God. And I think of Brother Jose Valley. You know, for a while he would come and go, come and go, come and go. And he was going slow when it came to grow. But then somewhere he clicked. Amen. He clicked. He clicked in. He said, I'm going to dwell here. I'm going to be here Sunday morning. I'm going to be here Sunday evening. I'm going to come even to men's prayer meeting. I'm going to be here for prayer meeting on Wednesday. I'm going to organize my job and my house around the house of God. And he went to me for some counsel, and he'd gone to the youth pastor, and I didn't even check in with the youth pastor, but our counsel dovetailed and agreed, and we said, your job, instead of making even more money over here, your job needs to be where you can be accessible to the youth pastor and the work that he's doing, and you can be really cemented in here as a living stone. And what a difference it's made in his life. Amen. It's made a difference, and it will make a difference in your life. And I that means be here in the good times and be here in the bad times. Be here when your bus gets filled, and be here when it's down a little bit. Just be here faithful. Dwell there. You see, some people are fair weather Christians, you know. It's like my father, George Bloom. He's a character. That's what he was. He would root for a team like the Detroit Lions when they were doing good, which is about once in a millennium. And then he would switch to other teams, you know. He'd go to the New York Giants. He'd go to whatever team. He'd just say, I'm a New York Giants fan this year. And he'd just go to that team, you know. He was a character. But God said, don't be a fair weather fan. You stick with the house of God. And you dwell there. And you be faithful there. And you continue there. And thank God for that. And then next, I believe it's fifthly, notice that God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, the house of God, and dwell there in the house of God. And that's what we've been talking about. Let me ask you, are you truly sold out? Are you truly just in this church, sold out? You are in it to win it, and you're going to stay. If you're not, this message is for you. God wants you to dwell in the house of God and realize that we're a team. Brother Sarge has this thing from Oklahoma, team, T-E-A-M, together each accomplishes more. Everybody clicking around the man of God to fulfill the purpose of the house of God.
Right.
And when we're doing that, everybody accomplishes more. The younger submit to the elder, 1 Peter 5. What a blessing it is when you get there. I've noticed Brother Harold, he's older in years, but he struggled with that. And God has dealt with him, and God's blessed him.
Amen.
Since he's in it and getting in it. And that's a work of God in your heart. You see, there's something we all have. It's called what? Little five-letter word.
Pride.
Yep. See, pride. We want to have selfish ambition. We want to do it our way. But no, God says, humble yourself. Especially men have the problem of pride. Men are turkeys. Amen? They walk around with their tail feathers high. But if you stay in the house of God, God will clip your tail feathers. He'll humble you. What does the Bible say? 1 Peter 5 again. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And so sometimes we want to be a one-man band, but God says, nope. He says, you be part of a team, and you'll accomplish so much more. And so God says to Jacob, you go up to the house of God and Bethel, and you dwell there. Amen and amen. And so you get into the house of God. And some people say, well, I'm looking for a perfect church. I'm looking for the perfect. Well, if you find the perfect church, don't join it, because you will spoil that church, because you're not perfect. And I tell people, I say, when you're in the house of God, in the church, you may have some doctrinal differences. And you say, I've got some doctrinal differences. I don't believe that and that and that. Well, listen, we have a doctrinal statement. We have a constitution. Our church has adopted it. I don't preach anything against the Constitution. Don't do it. One time because it reflects the Word of God and what our church. One time I came up with the view of the rapture that was different. And I said, well, I better bring that to the people. And we had to vote on that, whether to change our doctrinal statement. And we did. And we did. We voted on it. And so if you join the local church, you may have doctrinal differences. It just says, I am not going to purport those differences to people that are members of the church. I can do it to myself, to my family, to those outside. But I am not going to do that, because I am joining the church. Doesn't mean I have to agree with everything that's in that doctrinal statement. I just have to agree that that's what the preacher's doing. And I'm going to submit to that. You could do that and be blessed in doing that. That's biblical, by the way. And then some people, it's not doctrine. Some people, it's their lives differ. Their lives differ. In other words, we follow what the Bible says about morality, and some people don't believe in that morality. And people whose lives differ with what the house of God, well, then they can't join the church. Amen? They get baptized, and I ask them, I say, what about this or what about that? And if their lives differ, I say, well, we can't present you for membership of the church, because you would be put on church discipline. Your lifestyle, you can come to church, but you cannot be a member of the church. And so I'm saying, though, that if your life is different from the Bible, what should you do? You should turn around. Go the other way. Like, if the preacher and the preaching of the Bible is rubbing you the wrong way, you ever petted a cat, you're rubbing them the wrong way? Well, turn the cat around, and then you'll be rubbed the right way. So that's what God says, you see? Turn your life around. But don't change the Word of God. Don't change the preaching of the Word of God. And I don't intend to.
Amen.
I don't intend to do that. And so back to Bethel you must go, because you need the house of God, number one. Point number two, because you need the God of the house of God. Notice what he says in Genesis 35:1. He said, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there." And then here's the key: "And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee." You see, it's not enough just to be part of the church. It's not enough just to arise, go up to Bethel, stay with it, dwell there. You've got to do more than that. That's good, but you must have an altar where you keep meeting with God Himself. By the way, this is an altar where people meet with God when the Word of God is preached. If you get too big for an altar, you are too stinking big. You need an altar. If you get too old in the faith where you don't need an altar anymore, then you're just too old, let me tell you. And so I want to say that God said, just don't go up to the house of God. Just don't arise. Don't just dwell there. He said, when you go to that house of God and dwell there, He said, make an altar to God and meet with God and have a relationship with God that's personal and real and blessed. And I want to ask you, do you have that person? Listen to me. Do you have that personal relationship with the God of the house of God? I hope you do. And if you don't, there's an altar and you need to get back to God. Perhaps it's a sin that's separating between you and God. Perhaps, listen, I've seen this so many times. Somebody has the wrong quote unquote best friend, and it's not their best friend, it's their worst enemy. If it keeps you from meeting with God, and that's what I'm saying, and so you need to do that. And so I want to say something else. This house of God, because we have an altar, it's not just a social club.
Right.
It's not like a Facebook, you know. We're together on Facebook and we have this social group or social club. No, this is the house of God. You can hear a lot of junk on Facebook, good and bad and ugly, but the house of God is where we hear the word of God and we meet with God at the altar of God. And the house of God, not just a social group. Some people join it and they treat it that way, but they're going to be rudely awakened because it's a place where we walk with God. And God, the Lord Jesus, walks around this church and looks. It's not my church. It's His. He's made that abundantly clear to me more than once. And He'll make it clear to you or anybody. It's not just a social club. And so the house of God is a place where you build an altar and you walk for God. The people around you can't do that for you. They can't do it for you. You must decide to walk with God here yourself. And by the way, a lot of churches, for that reason, they want to be a social club. They want to gather a crowd and just be popular with everyone. They don't have something called church discipline. And they don't have church membership at the Lord's table. By the way, church discipline and church membership at the Lord's table go together. Because it's a way to see those that are in the church. The Bible says when you're taking the Lord's table, you're to discern the Lord's body. What's that speaking of mainly there? It's speaking of the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ that you are to discern. That to take the Lord's table, you must be a member of a local manifestation of the body of Christ. And if you're not, you can't take the Lord's table. There are some people that go on church discipline. They can't come and take the Lord's table, amongst other things. But they may think that they can, but no. The Lord is very clear in Matthew 18, 15 through 18, 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. There is church discipline, and the man of God needs to take that seriously. You say, what do you think? You are a dictator? No, I'm just put here to make sure nobody else is a dictator. I'm just here to make sure that the church of Jesus Christ in its spiritual program is doing what the Bible said. I'm like a deputy, amen? And that's my calling here. I don't have any other church I'm over. I'm not a pope. I'm not a cardinal. I'm not. It's the local church. And by the way, that's the highest, Matthew 18. And so there's church discipline. And the Bible even says, it says, them that sin rebuke before all, that others may fear. You know, recently we brought a member of the church forward for confronting them to repent of a lifestyle contrary to the Word of God. And we brought the name forward, and another lady had been attending our church, and she said to me, so you've got to be married to join Scranton Revival Baptist Church. And I thought about it, and I realized what she meant. She meant, so you can't live in fornication and be a member of Scranton Revival Baptist Church. She saw that because she knew some things and put two and two together. And what she meant was, you can't have your fornication cake here in this house of God and eat it too, the church membership. And so I checked on her, and the secretary said, no, she's not a member of the church. And I went and visited her. I said, have you been taking the Lord's table? She said, oh, yes. Have you been given testimonies? Yes. Well, I said, your life is contrary to the Word of God. You're in a situation where there's fornication. By the way, let me say something to you. If you're involved in fornication, which is the marriage act with somebody outside of your marriage, you're going to be sorely disappointed. And the Bible says whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Sooner or later, it'll happen. And you're going to be disappointed. And so many times people do that, and then I hear people say, yeah, and he's cheating on her with this and that and the other. And she doesn't even know about it, or she does know about it and puts up with it for whatever reason. Let me just tell you, them that sin rebuke before all. And what does that do? That makes others fear. And I told her, I said, you can't join the church. I said, you can't take communion. I said, no testimonies when you come, now that I know this. And I said, there should be no confusion, because we want to discern the Lord's body at communion. And you're doing wrong. And this will hurt young people. It will hurt others that know things I don't know about your life and say, why is that going on there? Well, it's not going to go on there when God brings it to my attention. And that's what is not being done today in many cases, but it needs to be done. And somebody says, well, you know, what are you talking about? Well, remember when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit in the church, and God disciplined them himself, and they were dropped dead? And what does the Bible said? It said, no man durst join himself unto them. In other words, they were afraid to join that church because there was real church there. A house of God there, not just a social club. Right. It's a place where God shows up and God does something. Yeah. Listen, that's the way it should be. Now, some people might say, well, how does that work out in your life? Does that make you holier than thou or me? Quite the opposite. When I realize that somebody is being disciplined, it makes me fear and tremble. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You may be involved in a sin that is not going to be disciplined. It may be a sin that's not going to be disciplined. And yet, when you see somebody being disciplined, you say, boy, that could happen to me. That could happen to me. It could happen in my life. And there's a sin a lot of people allow in their lives for a long time. It becomes a stronghold in their life. And they think God's okay with it. He's not going to deal with it, so I won't worry about it. But then when they see how God works and how he disciplines his children, then sometimes you wake up and you say, whoa, I better deal with this sin in my life. There's a particular sin in my own life that had to do with driving, and God's been dealing with me and how I drive. And when this stuff goes on, God humbles me and says, you better listen to me in this area of your life. I'm just saying to you, you may have a sin in your heart, you may have a sin that's secret, but God sees it. Amen. And you're in the house of God. And he says he wants us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, that God can discipline me and deal with me. And I need to realize that. And so whenever we're dealing with, it shouldn't be a Pharisee holier than thou. No, it needs to be rebuke before all, that I might fear and be careful to walk with God. And finally, it says of Jacob at Bethel, the house of God, he built there an altar in verse 7, and he called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him. What does El Bethel mean? It means this: El is God, Beth is house of, and El is God. So it goes this way. He went back to the God of the house of God. You see, God wants you here to walk with him. God wants you here to order your life around him. God wants you here to have a relationship with him. And your life will go up when you do that. And your life and family will be blessed the more for you having done that. God wants you to give your tithes. I said your tithes, not these things, but your tithes to him and your offerings in and through the house of God. And today, he wants you to get all in. And if you are in the house of God, but you don't have the stone that's been anointed as your Savior, Jesus, then whether you're a young child or not, you can't live on the faith of your children. I remember a young child went to camp one time, and the camp director was preaching, and he said, "You can't go to heaven because your mother said you got saved, or your father said you got saved." And he said, "That's what I was relying on. I was relying on my parents saying to me, 'I'm saved.'" He said, "I never really trusted the Lord for myself. I never really put my faith in Jesus Christ for myself." Have you done that? Have you relied on your parents or somebody else to tell you you're saved? Listen, you need to believe on the Lord yourself. Amen. And be saved and say, "I got saved by Jesus." Amen. Through faith. Do it today. Don't wait. And when you get saved, get baptized. And then make sure that you can join the house of God. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. We've been talking about